Good morning. I'm also tempted to tell a story. Can I say it? Can I tell a story? Oh, okay. Because I always realize, you know, there is a lot of power in the Sunday school, particularly in children's ministry, as they have been, you know, formed to Christian living. I was remembering, just recall a story about something that happened in a Sunday school, not in our Sunday school, in one of the Sunday schools I heard. So the teacher was teaching a lesson about, you know, honoring parents. And so she said, you know, kids, can you remember the commandment about, you know, about parents, the how we should take care of our parents? So one of the child said, yes, you know, one of the commandment is to honor your parents, yeah, your father and mother, so that your days will be long. And so the teacher continued, and she asked another question. You know, what about, you know, how do you treat your brothers and sisters? And so there was a young child at the back. The child put up the hand and said, yes, there is a commandment. So the teacher was puzzled. What? There is a commandment about, you know, how do you deal with your brothers and sisters? And the child said, yes, thou shalt not kill. You know, though, you know, I believe the class was, you know, laughing or even smiling at the response of the child, but it was true, right? Maybe it's true in the sense, I think, you know, thou shalt not kill. None of us would like to kill. None of us are murderers here. And I think it teaches us that we need to be building up relationship with our brothers and sisters. And that's what it speaks about. Thou shalt not kill. The season of Advent is a beautiful time of the year where God wanted to have that relationship with us. He loves us. And similarly, I think I would encourage you and even challenge you during the season of Advent and to build relationship with people that you want to. Because this is a wonderful time as God revealed His love for us. It's an opportunity for us. Maybe it might be our friends, in our families, or friends who works in our place, that we want to reconcile, find an opportunity. Show the love of Jesus, because Jesus came. And that is Advent. Advent means coming. As Jesus came, let's go and build that relationship. Let's pray. As we step into this season of Advent, I think all of us are excited. There's so many things that happens during this season of Christmas. Advent means Jesus. It speaks about the coming. I believe God wants us to have the same relationship that He wants to have with us. He wants us to reconcile. He wants to build bridges. And He wants to connect with people that we want to connect. We want to show love. That we want to extend our love to them. So during this season of Advent, start praying and asking God to show you the person and asking God to pray, giving you the opportunity to share His love, because His love is in us. And we cannot contain the love of God in us. Father, we thank You for Your love, God. We thank You, Lord, because the season of Advent reminds us that the love of Jesus came into this world. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son. Lord, we pray. We want to have that kind of love that You showed, Father. And so, Lord, we pray that during the season of Advent, O God, help us, Lord, to become friends with people that we have difficulties this year. Help us, Lord, to reach out. Or maybe someone who wants to hear the good news of the gospel. Lord, help us, Lord, to speak to them why you came. We thank you for this day once again. Be with us, O God. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture passage is taken from Acts 18, verses 1 to 11. That's Acts 18, verses 1 to 11. Verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to pursue Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But when they opposed Paul and became abusive, he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Once again, a very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us in this service. I think as all of us are fully aware, it's a season of Advent. It's a time that we want to focus on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But today, I thought we'll just continue on the mission focus too, because that's the reason that Jesus came into this world, to show and also to share his love with us. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we can gather as one family, O God, to worship you, to magnify your name, and also, Lord, to hear your word. We know, Lord, your word is so powerful today. We thank you, Lord, that your word reaches us. And help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Guide us, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe many of you would have heard the life or even read the life of William Carey. William Carey was a great missionary and he went to India, Africa and some other places, my friend. No, he was an ordinary man. He was actually a shoemaker. You know, William Carey was very fond of Captain Cook's voyages. So he was very fascinated as a young man. He would often read. He was so fascinated what's happening in the world. And so as he was reading all these things, the Lord started working in the life of this young man, William Carey. And so one day he went to a meeting. It was a more of a missionary or mission department meeting that was happening. So William Carey stood up and he explained. He said, "You know, I have a burden. I have a burden to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ." As a young man, you know, it happened in 1786. You know, at that point of time, no technology. We don't have access to so many things. But he stood up, he said, "You know, I have that burden, that burning desire in me to reach out to the poor and the needy in the other parts of the world." But there was an elderly minister, a pastor, who said, "You know, sit down, young man, you sit down." And he was very firm in his word. He said, "When God pleases to convert the heathens, he will do it without your aid and mine." It was a very scary word, you know, this man said. You know, when God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your aid and mine. But that did not stop William Carey. That word of this man did not. He ignored the advice of this man because he felt the burning desire was getting much more stronger in him. And every time he engaged in God's word, the Lord was speaking to him. And finally, he responded. Even though he was told to sit down, but he could not sit down. He went and he became, you know, he's still today, he's known as a father of missions. That's William Carey. And he has done a great work. If you have an opportunity, I would encourage you to read. Can you imagine when the time when William Carey stood up as a young man, wanting to share the joy and the good news of the gospel, because he realized there are so many people in that part of the world. And during that time, you know, church history will tell you very clearly, you know, the Protestant movement was not really making inroads. Churches were just happy where they were. There were less missionary movement or involvement that was taking place. But what was happening? William Carey responded. He could have immediately took the words of this elderly minister. You know, he could have said, you know, I'm discouraged. I want to leave the church. I want to leave the missions department. That could be a response from this young man. But what happened, I think, if you realize, you know, he responded. Dear friends, I think when you look at the passage today, there are moments in our life, particularly when we are involved in some kind of ministry. It can be a full-time ministry. It can be a call to a mission field. It can be a call to be an elder of the church or a pastor of the church or even to volunteer in certain ministries. But there are moments, let me tell you, you can feel discouraged. The past 3 Sundays, we heard sermons about, you know, God calls us to evangelize and also to reach out to people. But let me tell you, it's important for us to know that we can feel discouraged. William Carey could have easily said, you know, I'm discouraged with the church or the missions department, and I'm going to leave this faith. But he responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The passage today is a passage that speaks to us. There was a moment in the life of this great Apostle Paul. You know, when you read the life of Apostle Paul, he was always on fire, right? He wanted to preach the entire world. He was always, every opportunity he got, he wanted to bring the gospel of the message. But there was a moment in this particular passage that we read that he felt bad. He was discouraged. Scholars say that, you know, Paul was at the lowest point of in his life. Let me tell you, my friend, there will be moments they will feel, you know, people might discourage us in our ministry, in the things that we are doing. But this passage encourages us to respond. You know, before you look at chapter 18, which is a passage for today, I just want you to just walk through with you chapter 17. As Paul was, you know, busy bringing the gospel, there were 3 kinds of responses that he was receiving. You know, when he was in the first part of chapter 17, in the majority of the Thessalonians, you know, they were really against the preaching of the gospel. They almost got a group of people to attack Paul. Can you imagine? He was sharing the good news, but the people in Thessalonica, there was total resistance. They were afraid at the same time. They were against the preaching of the gospel. So Paul, you know, was continued. If you look at 17 again, he went to the Bereans, and the response was totally different. And they were so eager. They took the word of God with an open mind. They responded to the word of God. But then what happened? I think Paul, you know, as you read, he went to Athens, and there what was happening, the Thessalonians who were against, they came. They wanted to give trouble to this apostle. And you know, and so what was happening in this particular place? They were asking Paul to give, you know, give us more evidence. In other words, they were challenging the faith or the message of the gospel. And even some ignored the evidences that the apostle Paul was having. So when you read chapter 17, you know, Paul was so excited about preaching the gospel, bringing the good news of the gospel, but the responses was just discouraging. Can you imagine not only a few people, but people formed into a big mob and they came after him, after his life. And so Paul comes to the place that we read today. He comes. He left Athens and he comes to Corinth. He comes alone. Many times if you realize, Paul is always not alone. He was with companion. He's with either with Silas or with Timothy. You know, you always see him, but he's here, scholars say, he felt discouraged. He felt, you know, that he was low in his spirit. Maybe he felt there was no energy too when he was in this part of the world at that point of time. And as I was reading, you know, I realized the church has a very important role to play in the life of missionaries. Today, our church supports missionaries or mission agencies, my friend. I was reading a study. It says, you know, one in three missionaries leave the field because they are discouraged. One in three. Can you imagine? One in three, they leave the ministry in the mission field. So if people leave the mission field, and who will be the next William Carey to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I was also reading about pastors leaving the church. I'm not talking about retirement. You know, in a Barna survey that always takes place in the U.S., you know, it says that 42% of pastors have given serious consideration about leaving their full-time ministry. Can you imagine? It is God who called them into ministry. They've given their life and said, you know, I want to serve God. But 42% of them have actually contemplated in leaving the ministry. And it was interesting, 13% of them, there's an increase of 13% in the year 2021, my friend. It's not only pastors, let me tell you, even volunteers in the church. When we don't say the right words, when we don't give the needed support, that even volunteers feel burnt out. Can you imagine? They feel tired because there is no one who wants to come and say, you know, I want to come along with you in this ministry. Let me be someone to partner along with you in ministry. Today, my friend, I think the passage speaks to us that God is always there. I love when, you know, Jesus said that word. It was just not the words that was coming from the Savior. In Matthew chapter 28, you know, in verse, the last words, Jesus says, go into all the world. Wonderful. But he did not stop there. Look at the word very carefully. He said, lo, I'm with you always till the end of the age. It's not just a statement, my friend. It's a fact. I think this passage speaks about it, that when we are doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord says, I am with you always till the end of the age. Three things that I would like to see in this particular passage. Yes, God is with us till the end of the age. And in this passage, we see that God is there to help. Paul is discouraged. Paul is in the lowest point of his life. He's without his friends. He's without his companion. He comes to this place called Corinth. Corinth was a very prosperous country and a totally cosmopolitan city. But God did not leave him alone. The first thing I realized, you know, God uses people to accomplish his purpose. I think that's what the church is for. And that's why Christians are for. Like, God uses people. God used fellow believers. Paul was not aware of them, but when he came to Corinth, you know, God, through his divine providence, you know, connected Paul to these people. You know, let's look at the passage very carefully. You know, here, I think all of us were familiar. When Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, there he met a Jew named Aquila, right, and his wife Priscilla. You know, when you look at these two people, they were not ordinary people. You know, God was there just wanting Paul to meet these people. And these people were not ordinary. They had an open door policy. In other words, they were always, their doors were open for fellow believers. They were persecuted in Rome, so they have left and they have come to this place called Corinth. And they did not keep quiet. They invited believers. And their house was always open. They wanted to partner with people in ministry. You know, they, as I said, they were not ordinary people. You know why? Paul, when he writes Romans, he says, you know, Paul was a very strict man. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Jesus, Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Ordinary people, God used ordinary Aquila, God used ordinary Priscilla, my friend, to help this great apostle, Paul, to encourage him when he was at the lowest point of his life, to come and give him a shoulder and encourage him to continue in the ministry that God has given. I think in this particular passage, in verse 18 onwards, you will see another incident, what this couple were doing, ordinary couple. I think you know about Apollos, right? He was teaching, but then this couple realized that he needed a bit more instruction. They took him aside, helped him. Let me tell you, Apollos was one of the greatest preachers in those days because of this couple, my friend, were willing to help, to encourage, and to strengthen people in the faith. I think that's one thing that I realize, and God uses people to accomplish His purposes. I think I believe God uses the church to accomplish the purposes. We have missionaries. Let me tell you, my friend, you know, during the time of Christmas, we send cards to people. Right, we wish them. Maybe let me encourage you. Send a card, send a note. Just tell them, you know, I before I send this card, I was just praying for you. Make a prayer, say a prayer for them. Let me tell you, that will be encouraged because you do not know. Maybe they are in the lowest point of their life. They need words of encouragement. This great man of God, this powerful missionary of God, this man was anointed by God, was encouraged, was housed in this person's life, in this person's home, my friend. And they were great encouragers. And God uses. I think, let it be our prayer, right? Lord, use me. Use me to encourage. Let me tell you, even our worship team, our tech team, even our ushers, you know, when you find a time, you know, if they have done well, tell them it was good. Let me tell you, they will feel encouraged. If you feel there is some way, you know, you can encourage them by saying, let me come along with you and be part of this ministry. That will further encourage people. It would really energize them to do the work of the Lord. Yes, as Jesus said, I am with you always. He is with us. He uses people to accomplish His purposes, my friend. Secondly, when you look at this passage, you know, there's another thing that you read. Second point is, God is at work even if you don't see it. As I said, Paul was discouraged. He was doing the ministry, you know, and you read that Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia. Because Paul was in that part of the world, and there was, you know, when Silas and Timothy came, it was not just ordinary. They were not just coming and say, you know, I'm just coming to be with you. But if you look at a different passage, you know, you will see, you know, Paul devoted himself exclusively. When they came, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of energy in Paul. There's a lot of passion that he gave himself totally to the preaching of the gospel. Can you imagine? He was energized. God brought Aquila, Priscilla. Now the Lord is bringing Silas. What did they come with? If you realize, you know, they came, and if you look cross-reference in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, you know, they came with this news because Paul was bothered. He had when he was in this part, you know, ministering, he was not able to continue with the ministry because of the opposition that he faced. There were people that were coming with different kinds of teachings and different ways of living. And so Paul writes in Thessalonians, he says, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that your labors might have been in vain. In other words, Paul was thinking about them. You know, what's happening? He wanted to know, you know, is my ministry successful? Did I waste my time with these people? Was it worth spending that time with these people? Because I've not heard. God, I gave my time and my energy. Lord, but I've not heard. Then what happened? I think, but Timothy says, and you know, this is the same thing. Timothy comes and Paul writes and tells them, but Timothy just now came to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you are always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. Can you imagine Paul is in Corinth, he's thinking about the ministry that he has left behind. He was thinking, you know, did I do a good job? Are people still standing in the faith? What did I miss? Did I give them the full gospel? Did I disciple them, you know, well? He was concerned about these believers. But when Timothy came together with Silas with this news, he was energized. He was, you know, passionate to continue speaking. And he says, now, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? You know, secondly, as I said, you know, God is at work even you don't see it, my friend. Yes, sometimes when we do ministry, I'm not talking about only pastors, you know, any kind of ministry we are involved. It might be the smallest or the biggest in whatever definition you might see, my friend. But whatever ministries, you might not see. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, right? I planted, Apollo watered, but who gave the growth? God gives the growth. It's our responsibility to do our part. If God has given, you might not see fruits. William Carey went to India. He preached the gospel for 7 years. He toiled hard, but there was not even one soul. Can you imagine? He gave his life as a young man to preach the gospel. And he went for 7 years, he toiled. He could have said, Lord, I wasted my time. I could have gone to another part of the world and spent my time. But because of that great man, you know, later on he was able to see the goodness of God, my friend. Maybe you are not able to see today. Don't be discouraged, because the Lord knows when and how, and he's always working. The seeds that you have planted, the Lord knows when it should grow. Yes, my friend, whatever we do for God will not go in vain. It might be the smallest ministry. You know, I always tell Sunday school teachers back in Singapore, like, you know, I tell them, you know, when you do Sunday school ministry, imagine they are not kids. Someday, one of them might be your pastor. Maybe you're sowing the seed because a child might respond and say, I'm going to be a missionary. I want to respond to God's call. They're not ordinary kids there. They can be a pastor. They can be a missionary. They can be an elder, my friend. And they can be a great supporter of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the simplest, it's not the smallest, but every ministry is worthwhile. And so God uses people to accomplish. At the same time, I think God is at work, even if you don't see it. Even in Acts chapter 18, you see Paul was very discouraged because what was happening, you know, he was preaching, but even then, the leader of the synagogue came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, you know, let me finish with this word. The last, God will fulfill His purpose. God will fulfill His purpose. When God said, I am with you always, it does not mean that He's just with us, but He's there to fulfill His purpose in our life. Look at the word very carefully, right? The Lord said, one night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. He said, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking, Paul, because Paul was afraid. Even though he was encouraged, you know, he was preaching. When he was preaching, you know, people were against him. What do you do? Can you imagine? I remember a time when I went to India on a mission trip. I was in India and the guy said, you know, why did you preach at the street corner? You know, I preached. Let me tell you, before I concluded my sermon, you know, people started throwing stones. But, you know, I thank God I did not get myself hurt. So what did I do? I did not continue preaching. I packed my bag. I went back to my room and finally reached home. What do you do? So Paul could have easily said, you know, Lord, I am preaching your word, but these people are coming against. So the best option is to leave the place. If there is intense persecution, what happens? Yes, sometimes the Lord wants you to leave the place. There were moments Paul has left the place. But God said, no, you keep on preaching. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. And that's what the Lord said. You know why? Because human tendency is when people are against us sharing the good news of the gospel, if people are against when we are doing ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, what do? We will say, yeah, fine, I'll find another place or another thing, or I'll just do whatever I want to do. But so Paul was encouraged by the Lord. The Lord said, do not be afraid, Paul, because you know what? The Lord said, I'm with you. And, you know, because I have many people in this city, it means God is telling Paul, continue because there are so many people who are going to respond to your message, to your preaching. Don't think, you know, your ministry is not accepted. Yes, people will be against you, but I prepared people. There will be people who will be responding to the message that you're about to bring. And that will be life-changing in the lives of people. Yes, my friend, what the Lord said is true. I am with you always. And God wants us to continue because He says, I have people who will come into the faith. There are moments God will allow us to leave. But there are moments God will say, stay on. Maybe not the people around you, but the people I've also prepared to hear your word. Let me conclude by sharing a story, and I hope, you know, this story will help us to see the greatness of God, my friend. It will help us to know that this God is there for us at every moment of our life. In Christian ministry, in whatever we do, right? Even in our Christian walk, there are moments we feel discouraged. We feel empty. We ask ourselves, is it worth to be a Christian? Right? I don't see much joy being a Christian. There are moments that you might have that kind of spiritual dryness in you. Or maybe you are involved in ministry, you feel that you're not making inroads. You feel discouraged as any other human being would. And the story goes like this. I think probably I've said this, but let me repeat it. It's worth repeating. It's about a young boy. And he wanted to see his grandparents. So he was traveling all alone in an aeroplane. He was so excited. He was looking forward to spend time with his grandparents. He was flying alone. Young boys, right? Or young kids, they like to do something when they're in a plane. So this guy, you know, had his Sunday school teacher gave him something to do, some kind of a take-home paper. So he was working on this paper. And unfortunately or fortunately, there was a professor who was just seated beside him. This professor, learned guy, probably he had a double PhD with him. Right? He looked at that boy. He smiled to himself. And he wanted to make fun of this young boy. So he turned to this young boy. He said, "What are you doing, son?" He said, "No, I'm doing, you know, a paper, you know, what my Sunday school teacher gave me. I'm just doing it." And so he looked at this boy, because he wanted to kill his time. He asked this boy, "If you can tell me something God can do, I will give you this big shiny apple. Just tell me one thing God can do, and I'll give you this shiny apple." What do you think the boy said? Probably he went to a Sunday school. I think the Sunday school teachers taught him well. He responded. He took a moment. He looked at the apple. He smiled. And he replied. And these are the words. He said, "Mister, if you can tell me something God cannot do, I will give you a whole barrel of apples. If you can tell me something God cannot do, it's not one apple, but I'll give you a barrel of apples." Can you imagine? That was the kind of faith this young lad had, my friend. And that's what God wants us to have. There are moments we feel discouraged. There are moments we feel, you know, let's give up our Christian walk or our Christian faith or our Christian testimony or even our Christian ministry. But God said, "I'm with you always." He's with us always. He uses people, my friend. Maybe God wants to use you to encourage someone in the church. Or maybe your friend who are having some kind of experiencing some kind of spiritual dryness. God wants you to reach out and say, you know, reach out because that person needs that encouragement. Your word, your prayer is going to help. Or even your note is going to help. Don't be discouraged, because what you do for God will never go vain, because God does His work. You might not see, but He is doing what you have done. And lastly, my friend, God will always fulfill His purpose. Let's pray. Once again, let me say these words which I love so much. Jesus told the disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, till the end of the age." It is not a statement, but it is a fact, my friend. This Creator, this loving God, this Almighty God, He keeps His word. He uses people to encourage us. Maybe He wants to use us to encourage our fellow believers or friends or even our church family. Whatever you do for God, we are human beings. We want instant results. We want to see. But God is at work, even though we don't see, my friend. Father, we thank you once again for your word. Encourage us, O God, with people in the church. Encourage us, O God. And help us to know that you are, whatever we do for God, O God, you're a God who will take care of that. And help us, O Lord, to fulfill your purpose that you have for our lives. Not to fear. Not to be silent. But to speak. And to speak your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.